Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road. And although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
And welcome to The Drew Show. That was Philip Phillips Home. Hello, I'm your host, Andrew. Thank you all so much for tuning in for another great show. It's always such a pleasure to have you guys on the show, and I cannot thank you all enough for tuning in every week. It means so much to all of us here at The Drew Show that you take time out of your schedule to join us, so we do appreciate that. Please continue to check out our website, thedrewshow.com, as well as Twitter at DrewBTR. You can also go like our Facebook page at facebook.com/WAEDrewShow. When I created it, I found out that I couldn't change it, so I was kind of stuck with it. But WAEJ The Drew Show. So look us up today and like our Facebook page, and you can stay connected. We have some giveaways going on, and we're going to be giving away a few things coming up. So so please make sure you go follow us on Twitter and that kind of thing too, so to stay up to date with that. We have a great show tonight, everyone, and I am so excited to have these guests on from one of my favorite shows on TV. TV, Impractical Jokers. I cannot wait for them to join us, and they should be joining us in just a few minutes, so I'm really looking forward to that. Last show, a few days ago, we had Ingrid Croce on our show. Ingrid Croce is the late wife of her husband, Jim Croce, the legendary singer Jim Croce, who's known for the Bad Bad Leroy Brown, I Got a Name, and I Have to Say I Love You in a Song. One thing, please go back to our archive shows and listen to that interview we had with Ingrid. She told us about the history behind these songs that he wrote, especially about the song Bad Bad Leroy Brown, about the real Leroy Brown. And we never had a chance to play that song, but let's do it right now. This is Bad Bad Leroy Brown by the late Jim Croce. And that was Bad Bad Leroy Brown by Jim Croce. Please go back to our archive shows, like I said a moment ago, and listen to what Ingrid had to say about that song. And don't go quite yet. Stay for this show. But please go back to our archive shows, like I said, and listen to what she had to say about that song, about the real Leroy Brown. Very interesting. You can check out their website, croces.com. Of course, that's croces.com. They have great things on there. You can buy their new book. Ingrid has written a book called I Got a Name, The Jim Croce Story. It's all about Jim's life, and she shared many details about his life when she was on the show with us. So let's play that now. This is I Got a Name by the late Jim Croce.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name I've got a name. Like a singing bird and a croaking toad, I've got a name. I've got a name. And I carry it with me like my daddy did. But I'm living the dream that he kept here. Moving me down the highway, rolling me down the highway, moving ahead till I won't pass me by. Like a north wind whistling down the sky, I've got a song, I've got a song. Like a whippoorwill and the phoebe's cry, I've got a song, I've got a song. And I carry it with me and I sing it loud. If it gets me nowhere, I know they're proud. Moving me down the highway, rolling me down the highway, moving ahead till I won't pass me by.
And that was I Got a Name by the late Jim Croce. Like I said, you can check out their website, croces.com, and go back to our archive show and listen to our interview with Ingrid. And she tells about intimate details about Jim and about what an amazing life that he led. And she one of my favorite songs that he ever performed, one of my favorite songs ever by him, was I Have to Say I Love You in a Song. This was one of my favorite songs. I could listen to a million different times. I know I'm a sap for chick flicks and love songs and that kind of thing. I am, I admit it. But like I said, I absolutely love that song by him. And she told a story about how Jim, and I'm going to get this wrong, so please go back and listen to it, listen to the interview, but how Jim was always on the road, and he came back one day, and he woke her up in the middle of the night, and he told her he had a song that he wanted to play her. It was I Have to Say I Love You in a Song. Like I said, one of my favorites, and it will always live on forever. Jim Croce is a legend in the music field, and he will always be remembered. He died in the early 80s in a plane crash when he was going to somewhere to perform. And Ingrid also, during the interview, Ingrid also tells us how she found out about Jim's passing, how she found out that next morning about Jim dying in the plane crash. So it is a great interview. So please go back and listen to it. I can't stress it enough. Can't ask you enough. But again, let's play this song. Like I said, we have a great show coming up tonight, today, everyone. I'm so looking forward to these guys joining us. If anyone would like to call in, be sure to call in at 818-495-6928. And be sure to choose option 1. Hit the number 1 on your phone so you'll be connected directly to the studio line. But here is Jim Croce, I Have to Say I Love You.
Well, I know it's kind of late. I hope I didn't wake you, but what I've got to say can't wait. I know you'd understand. Every time I tried to tell you, the words just came out wrong. So I have to say I love you in a song. Yeah, I know it's kind of strange. Every time I'm near you, I just run out of things to say. I know you'd understand. Every time I try to tell you, the words just came out wrong. So I have to say I love you in a song.
And that was I Have to Say I Love You in a Song by the late Jim Croce. As I said before, everyone, please go back and check out our previous interview we did with the lovely Mrs. Ingrid Croce, who, again, is the late wife of legendary singer Jim Croce. We had a great time with her, and it was, like I said, it was such a pleasure having her on. And we can't wait to have her back on again. She's got many more stories to tell and many more books to tell about that she's written about Jim and about her life. So please check that out at Croce and at her website, of course, Croce.com. We have an amazing show tonight, everyone. I couldn't be happier to have these two guests on our show. It gives me great pleasure from one of my favorite shows on TV, on True TV, Impractical Jokers. It gives me such great pleasure to welcome to the show Murr and Joe of Impractical Jokers. Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Hey! What's going on,
Drew? Hey, man. Thank you. How are you guys doing? Thank you all so much for taking the time out to join me.
Of course, our pleasure, man. Our pleasure.
So you guys, now, do you actually live in New York or New Jersey?
We live in, we're all from New York. Sal and Q used to live on Staten Island, and Joe and I live in Manhattan.
I see. Okay. Well, what do you guys?
We're big city mice.
Big city mice. What are you guys? What are you guys up to tonight?
I have to get on in front of this Christmas gift wrapping train that's heading my way. I bought way too many gifts this year, and there's no way I'm going to be able to handle it. Me and Mark live together, and our apartment has been taken over by crock pots and for real and friends puppies. and jackets and whatnot. and I have to get on top of buying Christmas gifts because I haven't started anything.
Wow. You know, Joe, just like the show outlines that you guys are so close on the show, and it seems like you're really best friends. Is that the way it really is on the show? I mean, you guys are really that close?
Yeah, absolutely. We are, you know, we know each other over 20 years. We met freshman year in high school and been friends ever since, and over the years gotten closer and closer. And, you know, now we can't get rid of each other, even if we tried.
Mur, what's it like, you know, being around these guys all day, and are you guys being around each other all day and just having fun? I mean, I imagine it's just, I mean, you're on TV, you're filming all the time, but I mean, is it even like that? I mean, do you feel the pressure of the cameras, or is it just guys are just having so much fun?
We have a blast on camera and on set, and I think that I hope that comes through on the TV show where it carries through how much fun we're actually having in real life. I mean, you know, every day Sal's either falling because he's laughing so hard, or one of us starts crying with laughter. You know, it's a dream come true. It's a great job, and I will say that you think, you know, spending that much time with your best friends, you think you'd be ready to kill each other, but we were all kind of apart for Thanksgiving, you know, with our respective families. And when
right.
we came back together the following Monday to continue shooting, she actually turns to us and says, "I missed you guys." And keep in mind that we've been filming like 6 days a week for 6 months now, right? And we get 4 days apart, and he's like, "I missed you guys."
Well, you're best friends, but you spend so much time together. I imagine it's family. It's just like family.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. We are definitely way too close.
You know, where did this come from? Were in high school, were y'all just the class clowns of the school, or what?
We had different personalities in high school. We went to an all-boy Catholic high school, so there was a lot of testosterone within four brick walls. So, but we, you know, we each had our little things that we did, but we had lunch together all the time, because lunch wasn't assigned. You know, everybody just went to a standard lunch session, and we ended up sitting with each other. I mean, I think, you know, I sat with Sal and Murr for lunch pretty much, you know, all of junior and senior year, and Q was in the mix too, you know, here and there, but we really got, you know, spent a lot of time together, and when it's just boys messing around, like, all you do is, as you're growing, you start finding your sense of humor and vying for class clown. You know, I was a little bit more quiet back then. Murr was a politician. He ran for ran and famously lost for class president.
Really?
Sal was played hockey, and, you know, Q was just, I don't even know if Q showed up most of the time.
What was that, Murr?
I was the kind of candidate that I won the primary in a landslide, and I lost the election in an equally large landslide.
Well, you know, Joe, I looked up on YouTube earlier that, and I saw something y'all were saying about each other. It's kind of meet the cast kind of thing, and you were saying that you constantly have to make up excuses for Murr. Is that right?
Half my life, Drake, is making up excuses for this cast.
Hell,
I mean, I try to make him human as best I can. Sometimes we have a joke among us that Murr goes into robot mode sometimes. But Murr is definitely an acquired taste over time. You know, he's you hang out with him, he starts off being a little peculiar, but then by the end you can't help but love him.
Right.
This is a load. Let me tell you something, Drew. This is a load of bullshit right here. Okay, I am not a peculiar guy. I live 10 feet away from you, Joe. We've known each other 22 years. There's nothing weird about me. Joe uses the bathroom. Joe doesn't close the door when he poops. That's a little peculiar.
Pooping with the door open is human nature, man. I mean, if you look outside, bear or shut the doors in the woods.
Now, you know what? Man created doors simply to block the room where he has to poop off from the public. That's exactly what doors are created.
Drew, let me ask you a question. You tell me if this is peculiar or not, okay? You be the judge and jury here, all right?
Okay.
When you come home from a long day of work, Drew, don't you just want to get comfortable? Like, you know, put on a pair of pajamas or, you know, comfortable clothes, take your shoes off, relax. Isn't that what you want to do?
Kind of unwind and everything. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. James does not take off his Capizio shoes, you know, his dress shoes, till the moment he gets in bed. He keeps his shoes on in the house till about 3 a.m. Just keeps his dress shoes, mind you, with a heel and a laced-up toe.
Yeah, I will admit, I'm the kind of guy that comes home from work and puts a suit on to relax.
Well, they just don't get you, do they, Murr?
No.
No, yeah, we the problem,
you know,
we get them too well.
Well, Murr, how were you guys actually approached to be on the show?
We weren't approached. We did the approaching. We were sitting around Joe and I's apartment, the four of us, one night playing video games, and we had the idea for the TV show, kind of like an upside-down prank show where the joke's on us. We wanted to take a prank show and kind of spin it on its head. So we went out and shot, like, a fun, short sales tape about the show, and then we pitched it to a couple networks, and True TV jumped on it when they saw it, and the rest is history.
All right. I have my document sheet here that says you guys have over 60 million viewers and counting. Man, how does that make you feel that people tune into that many people tune into their TV and watch you guys on tape?
I mean, it's amazing. It really is incredible to know that there's that many people that have watched the show.
There's really a thing about making the outreach that you go from, because, like, our, you know, we're a comedy troupe, the Tenderloins has been our comedy troupe since 2000, and we've always liked to make people laugh. I mean, that's why we do it. We got into it because that's the biggest reward for us. And now to be on such a grand scale is such a reward for us to be able to reach that many people. Like, we recently went to Iowa as a group and, went out there, and it was amazing just to get to meet the people in Iowa that see our show, you know what I mean? Like, people we never really would have access to. So being on True TV is just really cool that we're able to, you know, get out there and entertain so many.
Well, you guys, that's amazing. You guys obviously have such a great time. And I like I said before, I love the show, and I watch every rerun I can. And, you know, I hear a lot of actors say that, especially Johnny Depp, said that he cannot watch himself in the movies and Pirates of the Caribbean, especially what he said. How do you guys feel about that? Can you watch yourself on TV?
We actually only watch ourselves on TV. That we just have it on loop in our apartment 24 hours a day straight.
we just make sure that's where we still can't believe it. Like, we tune in just to believe it. And we're like, no, this is real. This is real. Have a TV show.
In all honesty, though, Drew, we actually don't have television. Joe and I don't have – we have a television, but we don't have cable, so we can't watch our own TV show.
How is that possible?
it's expensive to get cable here in Manhattan.
I don't know. I got rid of cable TV like 6 years ago and just never turned back. So now it's – whenever we have friends over, we got to go into the public lounge in the building to watch the TV show.
You guys are TV stars and you don't have cable. Okay, well, that's all right.
Did Shakespeare have a library?
But you said you guys like playing video games, so what kind of systems do y'all have?
Do the Xbox 360.
Okay. Okay. So at least y'all
have believe it or not, I have a working Atari 2600 plugged into my TV in my bedroom.
Yeah. What?
I have a working Atari 2600 plugged into my TV in my bedroom.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Nice. What would you guys say? Do you have one particular moment on the show that just stands out? That's a favorite thing you've ever done? And I think we got cut off a second. But do you have one particular moment on the show that's your favorite that just really stands out in your mind?
The best moments for us, I think, is when we really genuinely, like, get each other. You know what I mean? I think universally around the four of us, we've got a couple moments, but one that definitely stands out for all of us is when I don't know if you saw the episode where we punished Sal and he had to give a reading. He was a new author and give a reading from his book. And when he got out there and opened the book in front of these 20 people, this book group, the book was blank and he had to make it up on his own. That was probably one of the biggest highlights for us since we made the show. That was a great one.
That's
I think
awesome.
My favorite was I think the dentist scene where we're working as dental assistants and Sal reclines the guy all the way back to basically upside down in the chair. We were just crying with laughter. The whole show shut down for like a half hour. The whole crew, we were useless for a half hour after that scene. It was just we just couldn't continue.
That is actually one of my favorite scenes as well. I love that part. I mean, I could not. I was right there with Sal laughing. It was hilarious. Absolutely loved it. Have y'all ever had a moment on the show? And this is for both of y'all. Have y'all ever had a moment on the show that that you really pissed someone off that you couldn't show on camera that they acted out in revenge or anything like that?
Well. Yeah, I mean, anytime you see somebody blurred, it's usually because we pissed them off in some way. So I think probably the most famous blur is Mustache from Costco, where we tell Q to call the guy Mustache, and they get into a little bit of an argument about whether it's polite to call somebody Mustache. So, you know, I think he almost beat the crap out of Q. Sal got choked once by a veteran, so that was fun.
when we were cutting the lines in at the TKTS booth in Midtown, which is the longest line in Manhattan for discount Broadway tickets, we decided to go ahead and try to cut that line. So Sal picks up the stanchion and cuts in front of what he thought would be a meek group of older Midwestern tourists. But the guy was like a jacked up, like older Herman Munster, and he put sound like a chokehold. It was great.
I remember that when if the Broadway tickets thing. But
that thing, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I think it's great that you guys have such a great time, and like I said, we have two young girls that really want to talk to y'all that are big fans, 9-year-old Carson and 10-year-old Amber. I want to welcome them to the show right now. Hey, girls.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Hey.
You guys are 10 years old?
Yes.
Do your parents let you watch our show?
We love it.
Oh, you girls must have a lot of questions.
Go ahead with the question.
You guys.
I'm sorry.
What's your favorite episode?
Oh, good question.
I'm gonna go on record here saying that this Thursday night, the season premiere episode, you know, they're playing two new episodes back-to-back this Thursday night. The very first episode, the season premiere, I think is my favorite episode of all that we've ever done.
Yeah, I agree. It's a really, really good one. We're very happy to come back to season two with that one.
Yeah.
So you'll see it on Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
Now, who are we talking? Is this Amber?
Yeah, here's my sister.
Okay.
Hello?
Carson?
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Carson. Hi.
I really like your show. It's really funny.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. This is Joe and Murray you're talking to right now, by the way.
Okay.
My favorite episode is the one that when y'all had made Sal go on the elephant poop.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Well,
that was funny.
Yep, Sal was—he was so embarrassed. He was so grossed out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Carson. It's so nice to meet you.
Don't you love kids? I mean, you have all age levels that watch this show. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I've got nephews, younger nephews their age that watch the show and stuff. So it's really cool.
Yeah. It is. You know, tell us about this new episode, guys. And I remember I got to watch the actual premiere of this, and I'm not going to give away anything for the viewers, but I'll just say this. One of you guys we get to see a little bit too much of. So.
Yes. You will see one of the four of us naked on live television this Thursday night. I won't say who or how, but let's just say this. Well, never mind. I can't say it's a family show. I can't say it. Yeah, so you'll see that. You'll see what else? You'll see two of us make out on TV. Two of us have to kiss each other on television.
Of course.
Yeah. Murray, we want people to tune in, buddy.
You're right.
I know what you're doing.
That's true. Now, do you guys have any idea that that what's going to happen before it happens? I mean, whoever the loser is, and you have to do what you have to do is so all this is just non-scripted, kind of like a Whose Line Is It Anyway, where you have no idea what's going to happen next. Is that pretty much the way it is?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. You know, when we get punished, we don't know what the punishment is, what we have to do, what's going to be expected of us. And we never know the twist either. So, you know, most of the time when we get punished, it has some kind of crazy twist the other guys have planned, like Sal opening the book and it's totally blank. Like me not, you know, I step in front of a classroom full of people and I have no idea what I'm an expert in or what the topic is I need to discuss. And then when we're out there in a challenge, we don't know what the other guys are going to tell us to say either. You know, you're wearing an earpiece and the other guys are on that microphone and I just have no clue what Joe's going to order me to do or say. It's horrifying, horrible, horrible.
You know, one thing I've always wanted to know about the show, and I can't remember which one of you guys it was. I follow you on both of you on Twitter, actually, but which one of you it was that someone got a picture with all you guys in New York not long ago, or New York and New Jersey not long ago. I guess they saw you walking around. So you guys are becoming so popular on the show that before you start doing a prank on someone, or do you have sometimes that they're just like, wait a minute, I know you. I know what this is about kind of thing?
Well, we do it in New York City where there's a bunch of people. And we always say, you know, if we do a prank, let's say, on 10 people, you know, while we're out there on the floor and we interact with 10 people, you know, two people recognize us, but that means eight don't. So we just go for the people that don't. And no one ever really thinks it's us. You know, no one ever has the expectation that they're on a TV show.
Right.
We get into a little bit of trouble when, like, we're doing it on the street and the three other guys are watching with the cameras on them, like watching the one guy, let's say, trying to dance with somebody in the park or do his old thing, and they'll put it together then. They'll see the three of us together, and they'll be like, oh, we know you guys, you know.
Right.
But the thing for us is that it's got to be real. You know, we don't interact with people that know us or make people play along. If they recognize them, we shuffle them along and go to the next person.
I think it's hilarious when y'all do the part in the park or is around a courthouse area or whatever's around where y'all hold up the poster board and you have to act like either you know that person from a while ago or whatever. And I'm always thinking, how does that person not know that there's someone behind him, you know?
It amazes me how people are oblivious to their surroundings, you know, and don't see the three middle-aged men behind them holding poster boards.
Right.
Yeah, literally last season, these two girls sat on the fountain in front of the guys, and the guys were right behind them, and I walked up to them, and I was, dude, they were literally 4 feet behind them. And they had no idea that what we were doing, you know, behind it. But if you like that, we play a new game this in the season premiere. We're really excited about that. That's very much like that, called Lookalikes, where we have to tell people the celebrity they look like, but it's not a real celebrity. It's whatever the guys hold up in the cards, and you have to get them to make a random guess. So it's a lot of fun.
I love it. Everyone needs to check this out. One of my favorite shows on TV, Impractical Jokers on True TV. It premieres this Thursday or December 13th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. And
it's our pleasure, man. Thanks for taking the time to talk. We appreciate the love.
Well, I appreciate you guys so much, and such a pleasure having you on, and I hope that we can do this again soon. Before I let you go, please tell everyone how they can get in touch with you on Twitter and Facebook.
Well, You can go to impracticaljokers.com and learn all about the show. On Twitter or Facebook, you can follow the TV show Impractical Jokers. You can also find the four of us by going to The Tenderloins. So on Twitter, just look for at The Tenderloins, or on Facebook, search for The Tenderloins Comedy Troupe, and you can follow us individually as well there.
Perfect. And guys, can you do me one favor before you go?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, and we'll edit this part out, of course, but can you just give us a spot for our show by just saying, hey, this is Murr, and hey, this is Joe from Impractical Jokers, and you're listening to The Drew Show.
You got it. Joe, I'll start it off, okay?
Yep.
Okay. Hey, this is Murr.
And this is Joe.
We're from the TV show Impractical Jokers, and you are listening to The Drew Show.
That's right, and it's awesome.
Awesome, guys. Thank you again so much, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all of you guys, and I hope to talk to you real soon.
Thanks so much, Trevor. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And please don't miss Impractical Jokers on True TV. All new season, December 13th, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Such a pleasure having both of these guys on. Such true class gentlemen. I could not wait to have them on, and such a pleasure. Such exciting to have them on. But again, thank you all so much for joining us tonight. Please check them out in Practical Jokers. You look them up on TrueTV.com/Impractical Jokers. Man, I got tongue twisted. But thank you again so much. Y'all have a great evening. Have a Merry Christmas. This is probably our last show until the New Year. So Merry Christmas to everyone. Have a Happy New Year. Wish you all nothing but the best. Hope you get everything you want. I'll talk to you real soon. Thank you so much, and God bless.